It is very exciting to be here with everybody, outside, not too cold, and able to be together as a church family. I am only sad that we are not with the Zoomers. We are. We're online with the Zoomers. Okay, well done. Thank you very much for reading, Paul. Let me pray for us as we consider this first passage in 2 Corinthians. Our Father, please help us as we seek to look at your word and understand it. We praise you for Paul writing to the church in Corinth, a very difficult situation, but his words were a comfort to them, and we pray they'll be a comfort to us now. Help us in whatever circumstances we're in to trust you, to pray to you, and to share the comfort we have received with others. Amen. What are we meant to do with all the suffering that there is in the world? How are we meant to deal with our own suffering? What earthly good is there in chronic pain? In physical disability that leads to socially being ostracized? What good is there in untimely death? In abuse of any kind? Let alone a global pandemic? If God is sovereign, which means he has all power and authority to bring about whatever he chooses in the world, why is there any suffering at all? Surely if God is good, he would want to stop suffering. And if God is sovereign, he could stop it. But we still suffer. So either God mustn't be good, or he can't be God. Do you see, that's the classic question asked by many people at some point in their lives. If you live long enough, pain and suffering that seems to serve no good purpose will confront you. You may be laid low with depression. You may have no resources to deal with that on your own. You may have a dearly loved family member receive a diagnosis that'll shake you to the core. You may face a totally unfair and unjust accusation that'll smear your reputation, and barely any friends will stick by you. Just some of the suffering some of us know only too well and are walking very closely with. We will be heartened to read that no experience, even the harshest of suffering, is wasted in God's flawless economy. Now, a full answer to why does God allow suffering isn't the purpose of this morning's talk. Today, we're just looking at the opening of Paul's letter to those in Corinth, a messed up church, around 57 AD, about 30 years after Jesus had ascended to heaven. Paul was the apostle who saw the church in Corinth planted and established. But since those early days, things have got very messy. His first letter has addressed some of the issues. A second lost letter has continued the theme, and this letter is now his follow-up. And in the first 11 verses of this book, this letter, he does set out some vital reference points, citing his own suffering and theirs, from which we can take our bearings when suffering comes to us. So I've got four things to give you, four headings. You might want to write them down. Those on Zoom will get them right in front of them, but you miss out. There you go. It's an advantage to be on Zoom, slightly. Think about God's character. Think about Christ's suffering. Receive the comfort God offers and then pass on that comfort. Firstly, think about God's character. It's in verses 3 and 4. What is God like? How have you come to know him? Through the account of his creation and then dealing with the people he's made from beginning to end, you will read about the compassionate God. The surprising, patient, tender care for individuals and families and even a nation that keeps turning its back on him. God has shown compassion all the way through the Bible. And look there in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father of compassion, the originator of it, the one on whom every compassionate act ever carried out in the world comes from and is modeled on. He is compassion personified. So who is the compassionate person? Well, they are the person who bears with you when you're finding things hard, who won't cross the road to the other side just because they don't know what to say to you, who will go towards the hurting, crying, suffering person and offer, first of all, his presence, and then with that, his love. Compassion is in God's nature. So the sympathy you feel for the suffering child or the nation that's in shreds because of war, the tears that flow as you see suffering, that's because you're made in God's image and he is the father of all compassion. But that's not all. He is the God of all comfort. So before you think log fire, fluffy blankets, tub of Ben and Jerry's or whatever it is, it's not that sort of comfort. When the Bible uses the word, it means something else. I asked church family for ways in which they can think God has used comfort in the Bible. And back came Isaiah chapter 40, where God says, comfort. Comfort my people. Your hard service has been completed. Your sin has been paid for. It was a word of comfort to them that their exile was coming to an end. Comfort is a word, it's a compound word. Come and fort. You know about forts? They are strong places of defense. So comfort means with strength. Now, of course, comfort may be direct physical relief, the end of an exile. But it can be the more familiar coming alongside a suffering person, being with them for their good, their strengthening. You'll remember when Jesus promised another comforter or counselor for his disciples after he'd left them, he explained that that comforter would be the Holy Spirit and he would be with them through every fiery trial that lay ahead. There is a vital truth we need to hear from Jesus, however. When we come face to face with suffering, we mustn't be shocked at it. Jesus said, John 16, verse 33, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, suffering, hurt, persecution. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Comfort has the idea of coming alongside the sufferer with strength. It can mean salvation and rescue, but did you notice that vital three-letter word just before the word comfort? He is the God of all comfort. Not some or occasional or most, but all comfort. People will look to other things for comfort, traditionally alcohol or work or popularity or health. But if those things don't have their source in him, any comfort you receive will be short-lived. There is a direct road that we are meant to go on for comfort, and that is to God himself. So avoid the detours. God is the God of all comfort. That is where comfort that lasts is to be found. Paul calls the Corinthians to praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. In the face of suffering, hard as it may seem, our first task is to turn our faces to him, to look into his wonderful face. And we'll do that best with the means he's provided. The rich, deep, wide account of his character in Scripture. So spend your time immersing yourself in the character of God when you're suffering. Secondly, think about Christ's sufferings. It's there in verse 5. Verse 5 says, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. What does he mean? Well, we've just spent 2 months in John's Gospel considering the sufferings of Christ. What were they? They were the events that led to his betrayal, his arrest, his unfair trial, his brutal beating, and his final execution on the cross. Alone, cut off from his Father, we know that as he hung there, he was bearing the sin of the world. that the world might receive the forgiveness he came to offer. The one who shares in the sufferings of Christ is two things. He's the one who receives the benefit of his sufferings, forgiveness of sin, a clean slate, a fresh start. He's right with God, equipped by the Spirit to live a new life. But he is also the one who will suffer for doing so. If you turn to Christ, you will face opposition. You will find life harder than it was before. What Christ suffered on the cross as the Son of God in our place was unique to him. We can't share that. But we do share in some of the persecution, some of the opposition, suffering for following in his footsteps. The person known to be a Christian who is quietly mocked to her face because she believes in such outdated things. Or worse, the man who's discriminated against behind his back for holding a view that is politically incorrect in our current culture, but does honour Christ. Or the offer of friendship that's rebuffed, the promotion that's not given, the willful misunderstanding of something you've said while standing up for Jesus, on marriage or in giving your testimony. No, when that happens, you are sharing in Christ's sufferings in that way too. And Paul says that as you consider those things, there is a comfort that abounds through Christ. Which means it comes from knowing him, from the assurance that by the Spirit you are standing firm in him and for him, and he is your master and Lord. He never promised life would be a breeze. He said, "Follow me, and you will be taking up your cross, denying yourself, and walking into the fire." Jesus led the way in proving that suffering has purpose. It achieved something. It was hard to see at the time. If you'd been there, you'd have shaken your head. What on earth is happening in the midst of this suffering he's going through? But he was achieving the greatest victory the world has ever known. If you are a Christian, there is no pointless suffering. Any follower of his has been given purpose and meaning and validity. And that changes everything. So there's comfort in being Christ and resting in the hope of the resurrection. That means a new body, a vindicated story, a revealing one day that you've been on the winning side. That's coming. That's a comfort. The Lamb who was slain is seated on the throne. He's surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who suffered in his name. So be comforted by the ordinariness of the disciples he chose and the experiences they went through. Take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. You're on his team. If you're a believer, he will one day lead you through death and out the other side to a new life at his side, with no more mourning or crying or death or pain. So, think about God's character. Think about Christ's sufferings. First two things. Thirdly, receive the comfort God offers. Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Paul isn't the commanding officer of a battalion who he sends into gory battle without having to step foot on the battlefield himself. No, he's been on the field. He knows firsthand the experience of suffering in many different shapes and forms. And he knows the comfort that comes with it. We'll find out that he had a thorn in his flesh that he begged God to take away, but would learn and was able to teach them that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. Here is this opening chapter. He's going to describe the outline of the trouble we experienced in Asia, the great pressure we were under, so that we despaired of life itself. It got that bad. He thought he was going to die. And yet he's able to say, verse 9, "This happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." I think that's the key. Comfort of God comes to those who've been brought to the end of themselves. They've realized that their resources are not enough to cope. They've used up every ounce of their own strength and wit, and they've got nothing left. It's then, racked by grief, unable to stem the tears, coming to terms with a shredded reputation, perhaps, no human way to justify themselves, that they know that their crying out to God is all they have left. They have properly and willingly turned to God for the comfort, the with strength that they need. And he has been found able to supply. Verse 10, he has delivered us and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope. Isn't it true, if you've had conversations with people, that those best able to describe receiving the comfort that we're describing here are those who have suffered most? It's true even in smaller ways. It's not that when we're fine, when life is ticking over normally, we just function without any sense of depending on God. It's only when the pressure comes, the ability to cope in our own strength is found wanting, that we lean most on him. We learn about the channels down which true comfort flows. Think of water cutting through rock. If it's just sitting comfortably still, it doesn't do any erosion. But with speed and with grit in it, water will cut paths through a rock. And it's those channels of comfort cut during periods of suffering or trouble that become the means of comfort from God flowing to us most freely going forwards. He has delivered us. That's my comfort. And I know he'll deliver me again. I can see the cuts in the stone. Paul is at pains to express that the comfort a Christian receives from God isn't meant to dam up and stop with them. It's meant to flow on to others. And that is the last point. So think about God, think about Jesus, receive the comfort from God, and lastly, pass on the comfort you have received. Verse 4, verse 6, and then all of verse 8 to 11. I've just installed a water butt outside our house. I'm very proud of my water butt. I had to cut several holes in it with big drills. I had to cut holes in my drain pipe and put a flexible bit of hose between my drain pipe to my water butt. And it has rained now twice really well since I put it in. I went to my water butt yesterday to see how full it had got. And there is less than a centimetre of water in the bottom. My plumbing is deficient. The water is not flowing where it was meant to. It is very distressing. The flow of comfort from God is what is in sight now. It's meant to flow from the one who is suffering to others. It's meant to overflow, you could say, to be received by others. Look at verse 4. God comforts us in all of our troubles. Why? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Look at verse 6. If we're distressed, what's it for? It's for your comfort and salvation. So how does that work? How is it comforting to hear about someone else's distress, suffering, trouble? Well, surely what it means is that in hearing about the distress, the person is also able to tell of the comfort they have received from God. I could only have got through this with God's help. There is no human way I could have kept going through this. That has been my hope. And when someone else who's not currently suffering hears that, they are comforted for when they are. Do you see? If God has comforted that person, been with them in strength, not necessarily taking away the thorn, but helping them cope, accept, live with, even rejoice in their experience, because it's drawn them closer to Christ, deeper into dependence on him, and to patient endurance, then I can begin to hope that it might be the same for me. It's like a small light getting turned on in the darkness. Even the tiniest light changes your feeling in pitch black. Or a trickle of cold water reaching a parched throat. Just the news of God comforting someone else. There's light. There's hope. I can't see it right now. I feel this experience deeply and painfully, but the fact that God has helped you helps me. Take me with you as you receive comfort from God. Let me share in that comfort. Do you see how it's meant to overflow? If you've received comfort from God, it's because you have suffered and turned to him. And you may now pass on that comfort to others. And that is the nature of the church, the Christian family, the worldwide Christian experience. Well, so what then? What practical use is 2 Corinthians 1 verse 1 to 11? After you've suffered, or even in the midst of suffering, think about God. Think about Jesus's suffering. Receive from God through faith in Jesus and pass on the comfort you have received. But maybe you're still there going, how? I just don't see how this works. How to get from knowing that to experiencing it or feeling comforted? Well, two simple things Paul shows us that may be a start. They are pass it on and pray. Pass it on. Share your experience of suffering and being comforted by God with others. Now, this is going against our very British nature, isn't it? What are we like? Our inclination is to bear with our suffering in silence, to suffer the arthritic pain as though it wasn't there, because that's brave, to keep my trouble to myself, to not want to be a burden on others, and to feel guilty if I even let someone know I am troubled. That's our British character, and there is something stiff upper lip and maybe good about it. But is this not a different way? A way to allow others to share in your experience, not just of the pain or the trouble or the hardship, but of the comfort and the strength and the endurance that God enables you to have. That could be the little flow of water that could comfort someone else in their trouble. Look at verse 8 to 11. Paul is doing a worked example of exactly this, telling his story. Verse 8. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We need to tell you how bad it was. We're not going to hide it. We're not going to pretend it didn't happen. We need you to know this. He doesn't give detail here, but he does describe how it felt. And my question for you is, are you prepared to share how it felt when you suffered? May I encourage you to? My guess is that if you see how far down the suffering route Paul went and was able to share, you may take courage and be able to share your sufferings with others. Look at verse 8. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. We despaired of life itself. That's how bad it was. They could see no light. It was all dark. There was no hope. Perhaps you've been there. Perhaps you are there. Well, listen to Paul's overflowing story and take heart. That wasn't the end for him, and it needn't be for you. Verse 9. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. So don't let others be uninformed about how God has sustained you and comforted you in what you've gone through. You are the means of comfort God intends others to have. You have a story to tell that God may use to comfort them. Please share it. Point to the God who has sustained you, who rescues you, delivers you, holds on to you. And do point to other Christians who themselves were channels of God sustaining you. Pass it on. Will you pass it on? And secondly, pray. It's interesting that Paul ends his treatise on comfort in suffering by emphasizing prayer. Did you notice that? Verse 10. He will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. So it could have been deliverance from physical harm, but perhaps spiritual or emotional hopelessness as well. And that came through the prayers of many. People knew enough to pray for him. People held him in their prayers, and God pulled him out of the pit of despond, of the clutches of angry mobs, out of jail. God kept him in the fight. He finished the race. Probably not at a sprint, but he finished the race. May this letter be a means God sustains you in, whatever you are facing, to press on to the finish. With patient endurance, verse 6, in the strength God gives, the comfort he offers, and you are invited to receive. Why does God allow suffering? Well, this is not the full answer, but part of it is that we might think on God's character. He's the God of all compassion. That we might think on Christ's suffering. Look what he went through for you. That we might receive the comfort he intends us to receive. And then that we might pass it on. After all he's done with his own son's suffering, it seems to be this is the way God has chosen to work. He will allow us to suffer, that we might be comforted, that we then might comfort others. Can I leave you for a moment to think about who you might comfort, what story you might tell? Perhaps to think of those who have comforted you, just for a moment, and then I'll pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we live in a comfortable part of the world, in a part of the world that does not have the threat of war imminently over us, that busies itself with first world problems more often than not. We praise you for our circumstances on the surface that are comfortable, and yet we face suffering. You have chosen not to stop suffering in the world. And you have given us hope through faith in Christ that there is purpose in suffering. We praise you for what Christ achieved through his death on the cross. We praise you for the Word of God, your Bible, which comforts us as we see your character. And we pray for today that we would, by faith, know the comfort you want us to have and be vessels that overflow, pipelines of comfort to others. Please may these verses strengthen us this term, this year, that we might be in your purposes, used for your glory through suffering to bring comfort to others. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are acutely in the middle of the darkest, blackest place. Please help us to pray for them and to walk with them. Amen.